three hymns. See how the gospel, is the gospel really given in these three hymns? I selected these three hymns. It's 223, Arise, My Soul, Arise, and then My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. And then the third one, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed? See what you think about these. Do they really cover the gospel? And it's 223. Philosophy of hymn singing here in this church, and you know, singing of real good theological hymns doctrinally is right next to the preaching of the Word of God. But there are so-called hymns and songs that are not good theology. How about this next one? 582. Does that have any real vital strength in it? 582.
Solid rock, best man, all other ground.
Now, this next hymn, we usually sing it for the Lord's Supper. By the way, we're planning on the Lord's Supper next Sunday evening, and I'll probably use this again. But, oh, what a powerful word. 195 is. Will you sing it with me? Father, we're grateful this evening that we can meet together and sing these hymns. How wonderful it is to have inspired hymns that, Lord, you've blessed down through the years, and how that powerful they are and sensitizes us in our hearts, especially we have hearts that may be cold or indifferent, and the world has taken over for the most part. We pray that you have us tonight understand more about the matter of singing and making music in the worship experience. Thank you for our Lord Jesus, who gives us a song in our hearts and gives us the Holy Spirit of God. We pray tonight that you would teach us and help us. You'd be pleased to bless us and spiritually. And the needs that we have, we pray that there may be a meeting of needs. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Well, we're in the matter of Colossians. You know, I was a bit concerned that as I worked on the message last Sunday morning, I was a bit concerned about something. I find it's altogether possible, something I learned many, many, many years ago when I was doing some hunting by myself for small game. I had this particular area of woods that I like to go in and shoot squirrel. And I was in there, and I was amazed at the trees. And I just got looked at the trees and all the things. Just got taken up with one, looking at trees. That's maybe silly to some of you, but it happened. And then, you know, I left, and I looked back, and I thought to myself, You know, I was so taken up with those trees that I lost the perspective of the whole woods. And you know, you can do that in preaching a book of the Bible. You get so taken up with the trees, each little verse here, and you say, oh yeah, I see that. But what is the book saying? The whole woods. And that's why I took time to repeat that. And if you felt that I maybe gone over that a bit too much, I know some other preachers in this pulpit seem to repeat too, or at least we know our brother does, Brother Rook, he goes over and over again. But generally, though, I find that you can connect it all together. That's what we want to do. We want to connect the book of Colossians all together. Oh, what are you going to do about verse 16? You going to go there again? Yes, I am. And what is it that you want to talk about? I want to talk about this matter of a worship experience. And this was written to a church at Colossae. And having a worship experience that pleases the Lord. It says, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, I tell you what we are to do. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I know that's one thing we're supposed to do. And it tells us how that can be accomplished. And not only does it tell that, but it says why we should do it. And you know, there are some areas I wish I could just forget about even talking about. But right now in the Christian churches, there's controversies. Actually, it's a warfare going on as far as the matter of singing. You may not know it, but you know, ignorance is not an excuse of the law. You know, say, well, I don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You're not supposed to be ignorant. And you're to ask the Lord about some things. I talk to preachers and I say something to them, say, well, I haven't studied that. Hey, listen, not that we know everything, but we're supposed to know something. We're in a battle and a controversy about the matter of worshiping the Lord in the local churches today. I'll go downtown and I'll see at 9 o'clock is old-fashioned singing and 10 o'clock is contemporary. Hey, got a debate going on, let's do it that way. One service will have contemporary Christian music and the other will have the old time for the old people. Well, I tell you, it's been divisive, and it's still divisive. I really don't want to get into too much, but I tell you one thing. You better check this out with the Word of God. There's a loss. There's been a loss of biblical Christian worship, and it's been lost. I often think, what would a lost person walk into a contemporary Christian music service and a bebop and going on and the drums, not just cymbals, I can understand that, but I mean this whole barrage of gum drums up here and the electrical aspect flying all over the place and people whooping and hollering. What they say, what in the world is this? This is like going to the evening club. This has gotten way out of hand. And so I'm going to take a little time here. You get bored, you just have to go ahead, but you need to listen to me a little bit about it, because I'll try to give you the Word of God. God is to have His glory and not man. Well, I think we ought to do this. I think it would be good if we do it. Listen, there is a teaching. It is a teaching that we need to know as a regulative policy of worship. Regulative. Is it in the Word of God? Did the early church do it that way? You say, well, we do it our way. No, no, no. We go by the Word of God. What does the Word of God, how did they worship? There's a regulative principle. You can just say, well, I think maybe, why don't we have this? You know, I think this church downtown here, they got a big crowd. I think we get some more people if we do it the way they do it. You know, when it comes to theology, I've come to figure something out. I'd rather have it narrow and deep. And we're not, don't think that you're getting real deep theology. We're trying to, but narrow and deep rather than real broad and real shallow. You think you'd like that? That whole group of people and just as shallow as could be, just as entertainment. By the way, music is not for entertainment, not to please man, it's to please God. You know, what is the main purpose, the chief end of man, is to glorify God. and enjoy him forever. Not just say, well, I think Brother so-and-so would like to have it. Brother so-and-so goes by the book, and so do I go by the book. Let's do it right. You know, I really think we can blame us. You know, the schools where the preachers go to, some of them, they're not taught much about music. Now, I had a good music professor. I appreciate it. He was kind of strange, but I enjoyed him anyway. But he made us do things that I wish I could have even done more with, the way he taught and conducting and reading music and so forth and so on. And I appreciate it. But there are some schools that the pastors are illiterate as far as the matter of music. What are we going to sing tonight? Who has a number here to sing tonight? Preacher, didn't you plan your program? Didn't you plan your message? Didn't you plan that the Word of God ought to collaborate with the Word of God? The hymns? Don't you know hymns are very powerful, preacher? You just don't say, what chorus are we going to have now? You know, I learned the hard way. I went to college. It was a Lutheran school. And they had boo, 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 you know, and they had German people come over and they sang in German. And I said, well, this is pretty, you know, this isn't really exciting. I thought it'd be really exciting, but you know what? You can be smart. You think you know so much. And when I disagreed with them theologically on infant baptism and some other things, and I found myself going to a Baptist church, it was a hoopda. We had courses, I'm in and out, I'm up, I'm down, I'm all over town. And I thought, boy, this is what's good. What are you telling me? I'm telling you the pattern that I went through. And maybe some of you are thinking maybe that's the pattern you ought to go through. I was there with it. And I got to say now that the Lutherans had some real good old hymns, as I know now. We had to go to chapel every day. And they would sing from the old hymn book, the old Lutheran. That's been years ago, 50-some years ago, eh? And we'd sing those hymns, and the organ would draw out, you know. Oh man, is this what it's all about? And as a young man, like young folk are, I said, hey, that's dry. But as I got in the Baptist church, and I found that their chorus singing, and it's excitement. I must admit, and you'd laugh, and we'd shake hands and have a. You know, you say, well, that's really worship. But, you know, I got tired of that after a while. It was frothy. Oh, there were about some few hymns. I'm not going to knock it. There's some few hymns in other books. I'm not. Well, basically, it didn't have a lot of gospel. It was experiential. So then we got to seminary, this professor. He began to use some of this. Now you need to see the message and how it's sung and how you play it and so forth and so on and so on and so on. And you conduct it this way and so forth. And he hammered on me, and it got to the place I said, you know, it does make sense. We're not here to have our flesh, you know, satisfied. We're here to glorify God and to honor him. And so perhaps having gone around a circle and say, well, good for you. I'm saying to you, it may happen to you, because we've had a couple folk here, I don't mind telling you, that they thought that there ought to be more lively music in our services. And so some of them are going kind of that way now. Well, we have a philosophy as far as music, and I believe ours is biblical. Now, you may not agree, but you sit still a little bit. Don't you get excited here and say, well, I think I have the answer. Do you really have the answer? I'm not going to say that I know all about this. But we got a wonderful verse about the Lord Jesus. I spoke to you about the hymn writer, Now Thank We All Our God. I said, you know what? It's been proven that that hymn is married to the music. And when you find that, Ed, it's beautiful. The words are married to the music. So that you don't have to depend on that machine, because you know the message and the word together, and you learn it that way. That's beautiful when you can do it that way. Well, so we put hymns right next alongside of sermons. Did you know that? That's what I really believe. I'd say, are they inspired? Well, I believe that God can use them in an earth. What, for what purpose? This verse 16 says, I can tell you what purpose it's all about. There is the matter of instruction. And it's if you let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, you'll be wise. You, and what do? You teach and you admonish one another. How do I do that? By psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with grace or gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. Not to suit you, but to the Lord. I do believe that we need to be conscientious in selecting hymns. And I think we've got that picture, but I want us to look at this verse a little more clearly tonight. Last Sunday I used the sister, the twin Swiss sister is Ephesians 5, the twin. You say, what do you need to go there for? It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different, but it's almost the same. We have the matter of being filled by the Spirit of God in verse 18 of Ephesians 5 and verse 18. What is it saying? It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. To be Spirit-filled, that is controlled by the Spirit of God. And it says, the very next thing is speaking to yourselves. See, it's a group thing. To yourselves. One to one another. And the word there, speaking to yourselves, in psalms, how? By psalms, hymns, and spirituals. Almost sounds like Colossians. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So I'd kind of like you to stay there, if you will, and we'll maybe go back and forth a couple times and make sure there's a little difference there. But basically, I want to be in Colossians 3 there tonight. I want us to look in this some of these words again. They're great words, and I think you need to look at the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. The word of Christ. Just Christ's words only? No, I don't believe that's what it means. Just his sermons, the Sermon on the Mount? I know, I believe it's just that. It's the whole biblical. I believe it's the whole totality of the word of God, because he's the author of it.
Amen.
And so I say, okay, it's the Bible then. That's another way of putting it. And so we have the totality of the biblical revelation of the words of Christ. But it's amazing, isn't it? Here one day, there's Philip, and he's down, and find himself down along the highway, and here comes a chariot, and he sees a guy reading something, and the guy must have been reading out loud, and he said, boy, listen to that. That's Isaiah 53. And so he said, oh, there, hey. He said, yeah, come on, huh? You know what you're reading? He said, well, no, not really. And he preached from Isaiah 53, the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of Christ. That's marvelous.
Amen.
Yeah, that's great. On the road to Emmaus, you know, those disciples, they were down the mouth. You ever get down the mouth? They were really down the mouth. And the whole thing's over. Spent all those years and wasting those years with the Lord Jesus. And he's gone. And he comes alongside of them. What does he do? He starts and he preaches from the Word of God, and he shows them Christ. Oh, wow. Doesn't that Emmaus experience, doesn't that really do something to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The word of Christ. That's so beautiful. Do you love this word? I mean, do you really love it? Boy, Paul is saying, you know, these guys are out here saying you need other things than the Word of God, and they're knocking on your church door, and they want to do this and this different philosophy, and you need this and you need that. He said, no, brethren, all you need is the Word of Christ, and let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That word dwell is a beautiful word. That word dwell has the idea to come in and take over. Let the Word of Christ come in and take over. It also has the idea that you say you got a house, say, someplace, and you have a few extra dollars to fix it up. You say, you know, if some of us men don't have the gift of really seeing things through like our wives do, perhaps, fellas, or vice versa, Say, you know, we could hire that person that does designing for $100 and they can more tell us how to shape this house up. It looks a little, really, you know. And so the person comes and he'd say, well, you want me to show you what I think you should do to this house? He said, that's what we'd like you to do. All right, get rid of that, do this, do that. And you say, whoa, wait a minute. What are you telling us? Didn't you hire me? Yeah. All right, then I'm giving you my professional advice. Then listen to me. Okay. And you may find it just works out fine. That word dwell. You see it there in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. That is, to take residence in you and take ownership and make some redesigning you. And then it'll redesign you. And you richly in all wisdom and overflowing. Let's have more. Let's have more about Christ. Until you have a place where it comes in, it dwells in you, but it also overflows you. What comes in goes out, and you say, I got to talk about you. I got to talk about this to somebody. And in season and out of season, you start talking about things of God. That's what happens when you let the word of Christ dwell on you abundantly. It'll make you wise. Nobody wants to be a dummy and stupid, but to be wise, inwardly wise, making the right decisions. Shall I do this or shall I not? What shall I do here? Well, the word of Christ, the word of God, if you let it go down into the very depths of your being, not just surface-like, you know, it's one thing, you know, I really do believe this. I can hear the word of God and say, well, that sounds pretty good. Don't give me a test on it, though. Yeah, it was pretty good. What did the preacher preach on? Well, I mean, it was pretty good. I can tell you that. It was good. It didn't go down. And it isn't part of you. You say, well, I can do this. I can do better than that. I can take a test and get an A on it. Yes, I can. But that doesn't mean anything. How about 2 weeks? Let me give you the same test. So, you crammed. And it won't stay. Oh, but if the Bible says here, you know, if we would let it, we'd be wise. Man, I could use more wisdom. Well, then, preacher, get at it. And say, let the word of Christ dwell down richly in your life so you can be. You say, well, I'm smart enough. I'm a businessman. I've been a businessman longer than any of you in here. I still don't think I'm very smart. Well, so what? You need more of the word of Christ. Then what for what reason? Well, you need to teach and admonish one another in Psalms. No, you don't admonish people by singing, do you? And you don't instructing one another by our singing? My old Bible professor Muhlenberg said, you know why the Nazarenes can pray so, and he went to some of the Nazarene churches, they invited him because he was from Germany. And they said, boy, he said, those people can really pray. He came back and told us boys. He said, you know why? It's because of the songs they sang. There's something to it. There's something to it. In other words, the admonishing, what a teaching, instructing. Well, how you do it? You do it by singing. And what do? You sing the psalms, the hymns, and spiritual songs. And you sing to one another. What? Teaching and admonishing one another. One another? Yes. And when I sing, I not only sing from my heart, I trust, but also as I sing, even those great hymns tonight, I think they're tremendous hymns as far as the gospel of Jesus Christ. You show me anything better than that. Well, there's some good hymns, I know that, but they're tremendous. And so someone who comes in and doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm instructing them by the singing. You know, I've often thought, I know some fellows from the hay auction, and they sing a cappella. And I've been to some of the services in the past. Boy, can they sing. Oh, man, can they sing. It sings, sounds like water flowing very quietly down over. Just, boy, right, they know how to sing parts. And if I were good, I would try to show you how to do that, but I'm not one to show you how to sing parts. But it's something that, like a whole orchestra, not having to depend on this, but a cappella to be able to sing it in and know what this means and to sing it with the notes as it is, like a great orchestra. Well, you say we got a lot of room to go, don't we? Yes, we do. But maybe some of you younger folk, when you get older, maybe you take it seriously. Singing is very, very important. Very important. Not just for a choir. You say, in high school I sang in a chorus, but not much because I had to work. But you say, well, the choir needs to know how to sing, and they teach them how to do this and all that and so forth. But not just the choir. I believe each one of us ought to know how to sing and work at it. Why? Because God says if the word of God, Christ dwells in you richly, you find that he can how to be wise, but if you and then teach and admonish one another, instruct each other. That is, it's to God. I said to you Sunday, vertically, I sing to the glory of God. Yes, I sing to God. You may not like the way I sing. Sorry, but I'm singing to God. And the person next to you goes, roo, 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 and doesn't know how to carry a tune. If he's singing, if she's singing, don't you knock her or him. Don't you criticize him. We're singing unto God. And it's nice if we can sing such that it'll work horizontally to those around about us. But we got to work at some of these things. What a verse. You see, to encourage one another. We sing about what Christ has done for us and what he's doing now and what he's going to do when he comes what it is to know the Lord, how glorious it is in these hymns. And you ought to look at them, not just sing them. You ought to look at them. Not just a mental understanding, but it's to your hearts. And I'll tell you what, the visitors who come, they'd say, boy, those people really do sing us unto God, I can tell you that. And God will use it. Look at verse 16. Sure he'll use it. You know, it'll be instructive. And there's places for admonishing one another. We need correction. You can get cold. I can get cold. I can get indifferent. I can get critical. I can become bitter. I can become sorry. Sour is what I want to say. And David tells us in, what is it, Psalm 32? He said, I was really sour. Yeah? You got to read Psalm 32. Do we have time? We want to close by 8 o'clock here, before 8, so we have a work to do each Wednesday night now. I think it's Psalm 30. I'm top of my head now. That's what sometimes you get in trouble when you do that. But I think it's Psalm 32, if I recall. You know, you can get just like this. Boy, he was a mess. You can get a mess spiritually. And you say, well, he starts out by saying, this is a Psalm of David, Psalm 32. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That sounds good, David. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there's no guile. Yes, sir. He said, I want to tell you, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Boy, you were in a mess. You know, you got out of line, and you know what you did. You know what he did. He said, for verse 4, for day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, think about that for a while. He said, I was in a real mess because of my sin and cold-hearted. He said, I acknowledge my sin. Nathan came. I tell you, I appreciated Nathan. That take a lot of fortitude to go to the king. And God said, you go to him and you tell him, Nathan. Boy, you know, he take care of me right there. He said, I'm telling you to go. I'm telling you what to say. And he told David, and he said, thou art the man. That's admonishing. And David took it right. For For he said, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, think about that. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee, unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, and be ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You feel that way tonight? Not really. Well, Psalm 32 says, you need to get back to the Lord. You might find that real joy there. I read about a little girl. She come to know the Lord, and she wanted to be baptized, and they baptized her and right after the morning service, and she went home and had grandparents there and her parents, and as little girls can be, she was real happy, skipping around, making a lot of noise and shouting about some things about the goodness of the Lord. And Grandpa said, for someone that was just baptized today, I don't think you were acting right, girl. Grandpa. So she went out, an old mule out there, top of the fence. She said, you know, you're making noise like you do, braying, and you remind me of my grandpap. Are you that way? Doesn't get excited about things. You may be that you're a cold sinner Christian, and this is dry. It's the preacher's fault. Dry. Well, where were we? How do we do this? You do it by singing. Yes. Don't we rule out the Word of God in preaching, but in connection with the preaching of the Word of God, there's singing. And singing to one another. That'll encourage you. Telling about life in Christ. Why? Because the last part of verse 13 tells us why. Why? Verse 16. It's because you're singing with grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh boy. That's the word thankfulness. Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. You know, it may just be little things. Maybe it's not very big to you, but little things. There's some little things today that just cause my heart to be thankful. I tell you, if you know Christ, you know the forgiveness of sins, singing with grace and thankfulness in your heart. To who? Hearts to the Lord. You know what it is that he's going to see us through troubling times, trials. And he can set us back where we need to be, put us where we need to be. In a computer, Rick could easily explain this, but I get trouble with the word default. Because they think of the bill's not paid, it's a default. And so, but it doesn't mean that a computer, does it, Rick? It means it goes back to the beginning. And you say, when I knew Christ as my Savior, I tell you, I was like that little girl jumping all over the place. I was telling everybody about Christ, and I was excited about Christ. And I wanted to hear more when I went to church. You say, was it really like that? Yes, it was. And I was grateful to the Lord. forgiveness of sins, and knowing what the Lord's going to do is coming back. I tell you, friends, it's we need to see it clearly, I believe, this whole matter. We're to instruct one another, teach and admonish. You know, music really can touch our emotions. You see, I just thought you said you're not supposed to, music is not something that's supposed to sensitize you to the beat of the music. No, wait a minute. It does. It, in preaching sometimes, you know, I say, I heard that, been there, done that, didn't learn anything new. Preacher didn't, he missed it all together. But when they're singing sometimes, it just somehow touches you. I said, boy, I was impressed. I was impressed with that hymn. It did something for me. And so we need to be very conscientious, selective in our hymns. None of this, well, what are we going to sing here tonight? Guys, sing, hey, guys, Justin's. Now, we do have request time. I'm not making light of that. But we need to make preparation. We need to be conscientious in our preparation. You need to be conscientious in coming to church and say, well, it's going to be the same old thing, you know. No, no. Same old plan, same old thing. No, no, no. Conscientious prepare. Well, the old-timers did, friends. I don't mean to say that we're not any value, but they prepared for the Lord's Supper. They prepared when it come to worship. Now, I have a problem with the prelude. Might as well tell you, some of it is recorded on the World Wide Web. But to greet you in the morning, that's fine, but we ought not be talking about everything under the sun to say good morning and so forth. But when our brother is playing there, that is a time for us kind of just to quiet down. Yeah, yeah. Quiet down a little bit. A little thought and meditation. Asking the Lord's blessing upon the whole service. That doesn't mean you sit there real frozen like an ice cube and not do anything. No, that's not what the prelude's for. But it is time to kind of, not for us to chit-chat. Maybe to say good morning and so forth, that's fine. But not to have, say, how are you, maybe, but talk about all this and all that. And same with the postlude. I like the postlude. But if the postlude isn't understood, like Brother Bob plays, that's hymn number 316. What is it trying to say to us after the service, after the singing, and after the message? What should be our thoughts concerning after the service? Well, when he plays 316, I think it's good to turn the page 316 and follow along. It's good. And so we have to be conscientious about things. Conscientious in preparing our messages with the time allotted to us. Conscientious about praying. Conscientious about playing. Conscientious about singing. Conscientious about planning the announcements. All these things need to be conscientious if we're going to do it to the glory of God. Now, if you're going to do it just to make people happy or get a crowd, that's another thing. That's not what we're here for, according to the Bible. And so I'm just saying to you, it says here about hearts. You notice in the last part of verse 16, singing with grace in your hearts, not just your voice, not just lip. Hey, watch me sing this. I know this song. Watch me sing that. I know how to sing my parts. If you're just going to sing it for lips, that's why I don't care for soloists. You know why? When she's done singing, hey, who are we clapping for? What do you think about that? The churches today clap after someone sings a solo. You say you don't like soloists? Not really, but hey, I would, if something happens like that, it's fine. It's fine. I told you, went to that reunion, and that gal, she just sang so beautifully. We didn't have any piano playing or anything, but she just sang a cappella, and it was lovely. Well, then you have to make you a better backup. Well, I think that it's more or less a demonstration more than anything else. The proof of it is the clapping afterwards. Who are they clapping for? Well, I said there's controversies, and so I think that just hold it there tonight. We have time enough here so we can be finished by 8 o'clock. Maybe have some thoughts concerning the subject of total church worship experience. Maybe you have some questions. I know we got areas that need to be talked about, but go ahead.
In verse 16, the word dwell, couldn't we say that that the word of Christ find you to be a dwelling?
Oh, yeah. To take over. You know, that's, Robert, to go along with that. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are in this world. But the Bible says we're citizens of heaven. But we're here. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're ambassadors here. And so he said, I have my spirit, Bob. He said that word like you said. His spirit is in us. The spirit of God. And he said he wants us to act like ambassadors, citizens of heaven. And not be conformed to this world. Oh, well, now, wait a minute. I have to do, the people think I'd be odd or crazy. Well, be not conformed to this world. Romans 12:1 says, and but by your renewing of your mind. Yes, sir, brother. I'd say that's good. I like that, is that the word of Christ dwell.
When you go out at night, you see houses, and you see, well, there's lights in the house. You know, there's light in that dwelling. The same way with you hear what comes out of the house, two noises. You know, it's a joyful house, a happy home, a dwelling place.
Yep. Happy am I. Jesus loved me, took my sins, and he made me free. There is a place for that kind of singing. Yes.
In admonishing one another, let the word dwell in you richly. I was thinking of the song we sing, yield not to temptation. That sort of, for yielding is sin. There's different hymns that we sing that are admonitions, and I think that's for young people. I mean, that is in the young people section, I'm not sure. But it's for all of us, and there's a lot of places in the Psalms. And on top of our hymn book, it does say we're singing from a certain psalm.
Yes.
We don't always.
Well, there's at least 100 psalms
that we're singing
from. In this book. I didn't count them, but well, I looked over. I'm sure I did. So if you're saying where are the psalms in this book, well, all you need to turn back to about 707 back there, and if you look for the numbers of the Psalm 706, you'll find where it says like Psalm 1 is for page 446, and that's supposed to be all about Psalm 1. So we have psalms in our hymn book. We have, if you count them, I suppose you'll find at least 100 psalms.
Now what was spiritual psalms?
Now
the hymns are towards God. Spiritual psalms on the horizontal.
Yeah, but not necessarily. I want to tell you something. In the Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but there's sometimes you repeat things, but you repeat it differently. We learned in pedagogy that you teach children the same thing three different ways. Well, in Hebrew they did this. I have to back up and say to you, hymns, our psalms, hymns, and inspired songs, it could be just the same thing. It's really the same thing. It's a Hebrew thing. It means the same thing. It means singing. Now, we do it for convenience sake. It says psalms. That's Old Testament. The book of the Old Testament. Okay, fine. But there are those, and I have been at pastors' meetings, and the fellows who studied Hebrews, and he said, it's talking about the book of Psalms. Now, you do know, in case you don't know this, you say, well, I don't know this. We had some folk here a couple times that they're exclusive. They sing only Psalms. And it's, what is it, the Reformed Presbyterian, isn't it, Rick?
Geneva College.
And they have a great time. You say, oh, man, I can't see how they can. Well, there's some Psalms in our book. But that's that, and they sing without instruments, Presbyterians. They don't use any instruments. No, nothing. They said, this is their instrument. And he said, that concurs with our Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21, where we sing glory to God and in the realm of spirit and in the realm of truth. No matter. But, hey, some of those things, without compromise, some of those things you say, well, I don't really know precisely. I prefer, but I don't know music real well, so this is where we have a clarinova, and we got a person who can play it. But if you ever go to church and they don't have any instruments, say, how in the world?
We sang a cappella here for a good many years.
Well, we had a pitch pipe.
That was just a pitch pipe.
Yeah, we did. We sang without the instrument.
Then we got kind of off of tune. And we decided to get back into it.
If you go to the Amish church, it's Gregorian. But John Reynolds said, I remember singing in the Amish church. He said that one hymn, and he says it just was so great. Well, it goes way back. The Amish singing is way back in history. And they do have some good hymns.
One of the reasons why we got the clarinova is so we could learn more hymns.
Yes, and we have.
Yeah.
Haven't we?
Yeah, we certainly have.
We only knew about 18, it seems. That's all we'd sing, the same 18 over and over again. But then we've come a long ways. And we do have a philosophy for worship music. And we want to honor the Lord in it. Anything else? Well, let's see what happens. I'm not through yet on this subject. I want to talk a little more about it. And by the way, I do know that we need to have our young folk understand it. Us old guys say, well, all right, that's good for you, but we want young folk to know these great truths, too, about worshiping the Lord. All right. Oh, request. First thing I want to ask you, is Edna better?
No. She's really bad. She has bronchitis. You put her on an antibiotic and a cough medicine, and I took a vaporizer over to her, and they're running that. But she said today she felt worse than yesterday.
So oh.
I'm hoping she went on, what's today, Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday.
She went Monday afternoon. So by the time she got antibiotic in her, probably would have been later Monday afternoon.
Is Peggy there?
Yes, she is.
You want to pray for Edna Fox, and I won't. She's had some very close times, sickness and so forth. So will you pray for her, Edna? And I haven't heard much from Ken Knighton. You heard on Saturday, didn't you? When did you hear? Call?
They said David took a turn for the worse, and I don't know how it could be any greater
His
turn
brother.
Than it was already worse. Mm. But we didn't hear whether he passed away or not. But anyway, he did decide to stay down. He stayed down. So
yeah.
He's probably back up for school today.
Who else or what else?
Adam continues to need prayer. I gave you the note there of his most recent
I didn't read it, brother.
Letter, but
I will.
He seems to be doing well down there.
Well, this is Adam.
Yeah.
Whoa. Jubilee Ministries, Adam Gamble. Well, Rick and I are planning to go back to Hunlock Creek this month. The 12th is what we agreed on, didn't we, Rick? 12th?
That's fine, if that's what you want.
Friday the 12th, go visit Ishmael and one of his colleagues. But maybe we'll visit Adam Gamble down in Lebanon sometime. But there's no communication except for 90 days. Do I have that?
That's pretty much right. They're apparently relaxing that a little bit because this is within the 90 days, but he still has a time period where he can't receive visitors yet.
No. Well, who else or what else? All right, let's pray.
Peggy with her shingles.